part of our role as the church, not only, you know, stretching out our hands to do good, but we're also here to represent the presence of Christ in the midst of a fallen world. And there's a peace that's associated with Jesus. And I know that, you know, we can kind of get kind of wound up by storms and things like that. One of the things I want to do is I want to look at the different kinds of storms that we're talking about. We've got all these different, you know, terminologies that they're bandying about on the news and things like that. And so we need to understand what it is that we're dealing with when we talk about a storm like this. So I want to kind of break down the different types of storms we've got. There's different storms here. We've got the Cat 1, and that just proves to us how annoying these things are to begin with. For Floridians, you know, hurricanes are annoying. You get the Cat 2, and it's, you know, it feels a little bit better because at least it's humiliating, the annoyance. Cat 3, and Cat 5 is when it looks like we finally get rid of the cats. But we're not going to be dealing with that at all in this whole thing. So just to set your mind at ease. You're dismissed. No. You know, we know the kids, there's kids out here and stuff. And so what we don't want to do is foment a lot of concern or unnecessary trepidation. What I want us to do today, what we're actually going to do, will this flip over to my slideshow? There we go. So what we're going to do is we're going to take just a moment here to contemplate some things as it touches storms, as it touches God's people, as it touches this world, and just remind ourselves of not only who we are, but who God is. Because that's a pretty important thing to keep in mind, especially when we're faced with something like this. Like I said, the temptation, the tendency is, and we can't help that, we're part of a media-driven culture. So, I mean, like, who here hasn't been looking at the spaghetti models and watching them, you know, move this way and that way? Oh, it's going east? No, it's going west. Oh, no. And so what we want to do is just let's take a break from that for a moment, and let's look at something else. Let's look at a storm. But I want to, if you have a Bible and you want to turn there, go to Mark chapter 4. I want to read something that happened in Jesus' ministry, something we've taught about multiple times. But it's an account of Jesus in a boat with his disciples. And I'm going to be reading it out of the Modern English Version, so if it's a little different from what you've got, I'll have it up here on the screen. But here's what it says in this passage. It says that same day, this day that Jesus was ministering heavily, doing a lot of things, been ministering for a long time up in Galilee. When evening came, he said to them, his disciples, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side, cross over to the other side of the lake. And when they had sent the crowd away, they took him in the boat just as he was. There were also other little boats with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves splashed into the boat, so that it was now filling the boat. And he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared greatly, and they said to one another, What kind of a man is he? That even the wind and the sea obey him. All right, this is a story, you know, as we said, Jesus has been ministering a lot to the people in Galilee, and he is spent in his humanity. One of the theological truths that we embrace as the church is that Jesus is fully man and fully God, fully human and fully divine. So in his humanity, he's worn out. He's beat. He's spent. He's been doing all this work. They get in the boat and the gentle rocking of the boat, and it's easy for me to imagine he's just, you know, sound asleep. And out cold. And so while he's asleep and while this is going on, a storm rises up. The wind starts blowing. And of course, you know, they didn't have the little hurricane tracker app on their phones to figure out what was going on. They had what they had. They had a certain intuition. They could recognize that the wind's blowing out of the north. We're going to have some issues here. But either way, Jesus had told them to get in the boat. We're going to go, and they're not going to disobey him. So they head out on the boat. And they're out there on the water, and all of a sudden this storm pops up on them. And this is a story that we refer to a lot in our Christian lives as we think about how it is that God interacts with us. And oftentimes when we're talking about the storm, we're using it as a metaphor. Because of all the storms that come up in life, and it's usually metaphoric. We're talking, you know, because normally we're either talking about our finances or we're talking about our health or something like that, storms. But in our case, this morning, we're actually quite literal as we are reading this. This is about the storms of life, the literal storms that come in on us. And it's always been an important aspect of the story that Jesus is asleep. And it's bothered some people over the years or whatever. It's a perfectly understandable thing, as I said, that he's asleep. But it becomes a picture for us of some of the things that we face as believers, as people who are following God through this life, who are trying to embrace the reality of who God is and what his will is for our lives, that there are many times in our life experiences where it just seems like God is not involved. Where it seems like, you know, are you asleep? Have you forgotten me? What, you know, it feels like we're all on our own. You know, and honestly, the temptation can be when we're watching the Weather Channel and Jim Cantore, you know, and his hat is getting tighter on his head and the whole thing. The temptation is to start thinking we're on our own. We've got to figure this thing out. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're on our own. We got to do this thing. And it's kind of important for us to remember some things about the story, some things about, you know, Jesus being there. Christ was present in the boat. And the reality for us that we've got to embrace by faith is that Christ is present with us in this boat, in this discipleship that we're in. And it's a horrible pun, but he's with us. He's with us. That took a while, huh? Don't ask this side of the room to do any math problems for you because they're kind of slow. But he's with us. He's present with us. You know, Jesus coming was the fulfillment of the promise, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus in his humanity is asleep, but that did not change the reality of who he is. God with us. God present in the situation. When we're looking at the weather, when we're seeing all of these things happening, when, you know, you're watching this slow progression of a storm, just waiting, are you going to turn? Are you going to go? Where are you going? Remember who's with us. Remember who's there. God is with us. Christ's presence is with and in the church. There's nothing that's going to change that. Paul emphatically stated in Romans that there's nothing that's going to separate us from the love of Christ. It's not going to be storms. It's not going to be anything. Nothing is going to separate us from his love. He's there. But the other thing that we think about is the disciples' response in this. You know, they woke him up. And some, I've heard people before say, yeah, they shouldn't have woke him up. They should have just had faith. I don't know that that was really the problem. Honestly, I mean, I don't think it was a problem that they were distressed at the storm that was there. That you know, that happens. You can't help but feel a certain trepidation about things that are way out of your control that, you know, are happening. And you can't influence in any way. They woke him up, and I think that was all right. But it's what they said to Jesus that I think became problematic. Because they wake him up and they say, don't you care? Don't you care that we're about to die? Don't you care that we're in this plight, that things are getting out of control, that it feels like our boat is filling up with water? Don't you care about our situation that we're in? You know, the thing about it is, in the ancient world, the pagan construct of gods in their pantheon of gods. The pagan construct of divinity was really mean. I mean, the pagan gods, the gods of Rome and the gods of Greece, the gods of the nations around Israel, they were all capricious. They were all petty beings. You know, they didn't care. I mean, that was what came across loud and clear within the pagan religions. The gods do not care. They don't care at all. Now, you might be able to bribe them and get them to maybe do something on your behalf, but it's not like they really want to. And it's not like they'll ever just intervene on behalf of humanity for some other reason than what it might benefit or gain to them. They, you know, they could be bribed, but they couldn't be trusted. That was the pagan concept of God. Gods, the gods that were around in their minds were instruments of wrath and judgment. And when things go wrong, the first thing you do is you blame the gods. It's the gods that are doing this. We've somehow displeased them. We've somehow done something. We need to appease them in some sort of way. So when Jesus wakes up and he rebukes them, he says to them, "Why are you so fearful?" I don't believe he's talking about fearful of the storm. I think he's not just rebuking this fear as fear in and of itself as a human reaction. Fear happens when storms arise. Their fear was centered on the person of Jesus. Their fear was expressed in a question about what is Jesus like, and in that matter, what is God like? Because they were afraid, as they spoke it, they were afraid Jesus didn't care. And by extension, that meant that God didn't care. And so his concern, Jesus's concern, was that his disciples had a poor conception of who he is. They had a poor image of who God is in this. They assigned something to Jesus, and thereby assigned it to God, something that they shouldn't have. They made an assumption about him that was incorrect and inappropriate. And so for us, as we're here during this long wait for this storm, you know, if you've been looking at the storm since it came off of Africa, it's been a long time. We've gotten very, very close with Irma. It's just, and so we're waiting in this long wait for this storm to come. But let's be encouraged to find hope. Let's be encouraged about who it is that we put our hope in, about the character of this God that we've put our faith in, that we've entrusted our lives to. Let's keep in mind who this God is. More than that, let's rightly perceive and express what this God is like. Because here's the thing. I've already started hearing sermons getting bandied about, even some by some of the big religious leaders, that, you know, the hurricane out in Texas, and now this hurricane down here in Florida, this is God's judgment. God is whipping up his judgment against, you know, sinful Texas, I guess, sinful Florida. It's the U.S., or maybe we'll expand it out. God is angry with the U.S., and so this is it. This is him bringing out his judgment and his wrath and stirring up these hurricanes. And I want to tell you that I'm very concerned about that perception of God. Because if we go ahead and assign these weather patterns as judgments from God, then who do we go to for help in the middle of this? If this is God doing this, then who are we going to go to? Who do we got? If we go ahead and picture God as like an angry Zeus throwing lightning bolts at humanity that's disappointed him, and who are we going to appeal to in the middle of this storm? Let's keep something in mind. Jesus came to reveal who God is, give us the clearest picture that we'll ever have of God. And the way God determined that he was going to do that is that he was going to come in human form. He's going to come as a human being. He's going to speak human being to us. And he was going to demonstrate through his actions, through how he ministered, through what he did, he's going to demonstrate to us what it looks like when God is in control and caring for humanity. When God comes into the world to establish his rule, what is God like? So what did Jesus do when the storm came? What else did he do? There we go. He calmed the storm. God. Well, that was a high voice. God is not interested in us developing some image of him as a constantly angry, waiting to whip up a storm to kill everybody because he's mad about something. That is not the God that Jesus reveals. Jesus, I agree with that. Thank God. Thank God that that's not who he is. Jesus came onto the scene and he calmed the storm. He didn't explain to the disciples, well, this is judgment on Galilee because they haven't been doing things right, or maybe on Samaria because of those people, you know. Nope. Jesus stepped in to reveal what God is like, and God says, peace. be still. He comes to redeem, to restore, and not to condemn. So I contest. This is not God whipping up storms to kill people because he's mad. Storms happen on a fallen planet. They just do. And, you know, and maybe, look, I'll go so far as to say sin increases over time, maybe even our meddling, whatever it could be. Storms may increase because of that, because, you know, as time goes on in this fallen place, they could get worse. But Jesus showed us that God is the stiller of storms. God is the refuge and the strength for those who reach out and put their hope and their trust in him. And I don't think this means that every storm that we go through is going to go away. I don't think this means that, you know, woo, I can just make every storm stop if I got enough faith or anything like that. But I do believe that Christ's presence is with us to care for us because he cares. Cast your burdens onto him because he cares for you, is what Peter said. He promises to guide us to safety, to encourage us, to give us the strength we need to start rebuilding. Even after storms go through, the strength we need and the courage that we need to clean up and begin again, to be the presence of Christ in this fallen world, the representation of peace and still, the representation of what God is like and what he wants to bring into this chaotic and fallen world. So we can be present with him and he is present in us, even as storms are coming through. I know we've got some time here to make decisions in terms of what's going to be best for our families, and I encourage everyone here to pray about that. And don't be led by fear or panic or anything like that. Pray and trust the Lord for that stillness, for that peace, to guide and lead as to the best direction that's going to continue giving you grace and peace and stillness of heart and mind. We're going to trust that the Lord is going to look after us and look after the people of this world in which we've been placed. And we're going to trust and believe that God will enable us to be his hands and feet, to demonstrate his help, his love, his care for the world around us. Right on? All right. So what I want us to do this morning is I want to spend just a little bit of time praying here. I put a community prayer together based loosely on Psalm 57 that we're going to read together, and then I'll pray for us, and then we're going to finish off with some worship time, and then at that point, let your heart be filled with peace and the strength of the living Christ, and be that peace and presence and strength of Christ in the world around us, right? All right. So let's, when we pray this community prayer, I'm going to lead it. I'm going to be praying the parts that are in italics, and everybody together speaks the words that are in bold. So we bring this before you, Lord God. Oh God, be good to us, oh God. We've run to you for dear life. We're hiding out under your wing. It's over. We call out to our Creator God, the God who holds us together. Send orders from heaven and save us. Save us from the troubles that surround us. Troubles have surrounded us, and winds overtake us to tear us down. Soar high in the skies, O God. Cover the whole earth with your glory. You use the very storm that might have ruined us to establish us in strength. We're thanking you, God, out loud in the streets, singing your praises wherever we go. Soar high in the skies, O God. Cover the whole earth with your glory. We're hiding out under your wings till the hurricane blows over. Amen. Our Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we know that you hold all things together in your hands, that in your goodness, in your grace, in your sovereignty, that you are looking after those that you love. And so, Father, we begin here in this room, and we put into your hands all of those who are part of this community and part of the church community here in Bay County. We put ourselves in your hands, and we trust you to care for us, to guide us, to lead us, to give us the wisdom that's necessary, but above all, to give us peace. Now, Father, we pray for this community at large, for Bay County and these surrounding areas. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to look after us, to overshadow us with your mercy, to overshadow our humanity with your grace. Let there be a preservation of life and of home and of safety here. We put ourselves in your hands as an act of our faith. Father, we put the larger state of Florida in your hands. We ask you, Lord God, to intervene, to protect where we can be protected, to preserve life, to preserve properties, to give us the strength that's necessary to rebuild after a storm goes through. But we pray, Father, that this storm is not the thing that ruins us or undoes us, but that this storm becomes the basis, the groundwork from which you grow something beautiful, that you plant according to your sovereign mercy, according to your great love for humankind. We ask you to do these things, Lord. We trust you to preserve us and to bring us through. We pray, Lord, that if it's within the scope of your will or your purposes, to diminish this storm, to cause it to downgrade and to continue to be torn apart by the forces of the earth. But in all of this, Father, we trust you. We put ourselves in your hands. You are the stiller of storms. Give us peace. Give us grace. And help us to be still as well. And we pray these things, Father, in the mighty and authoritative name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's...